The hearing of the Cambridge License Commission is Wednesday, July 25th, 2018 at 3:04 p.m. We're in the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 831 Mass Ave, Basement Conference Room. Before you are the commissioners, Chair Nicole Moratti Ferrer and Chief, I almost called you Gerald Reardon, Gerard Mahoney. Is Attorney Benzan here? No. Just start at the top and see what happens.
We're being audio and tape recorded?
I said that.
Oh, okay, I didn't know. Sorry.
Disciplinary matter, River Tech Associates 2 LLC, holder of garage license with flammables 14318 at 840 Memorial Drive for failure to renew garage with flammables license and operating without a license in violation of Mass General Laws, Chapter 148, Section 1, et sec, and Cambridge Municipal Code 8.08.
River Tech, please come up. Please remain standing for a moment.
Sure.
Raise your right hand.
Swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Thank you. You may both take a seat. Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Peter Goodman, P-E-T-E-R-G-O-O-D-M-A-N.
Thank you.
Tyler Bubenik, T-Y-L-E-R, B-U-B-E-N-I-K.
Mr. Bubenik, do you want to start, please?
Sure. I investigated 840 Memorial Drive after they failed to renew their license and found that their garage was operational.
And when was your inspection?
This would have been maybe 17th. I'm not sure on the exact date.
If I represent May 21st, would that sound about right?
Yeah, that would sound right.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Goodman?
Yes, so I'm the facilities manager of the property. The Abbey Group has owned and operated the building since 1988. And through that time, we have always applied for the permits on time. This was a accounts receivable and personnel mistake from my end. So it's something that fell through the cracks, and we were not intentionally trying to mislead or not apply for the permits.
Thank you. I will note that that it also failed through the cracks 2017-2018, although our office takes some responsibility for that one as well because of some notice issues with your office, but the 2017-2018 was also received late. With that said, I do agree based on your record, it's been a long time, but I do find a violation, and I would suggest in accordance with other ones that we've had in the same boat, one day held in abeyance for a year.
I would concur with that.
Okay, thank you. Well, you'll receive a statement of reason.
Thank you.
Disciplinary matter, 4 Point Investments, LLC, holder of garage with flammables 14342 at 90 Fawcett Street for failure to renew garage with flammables license, operating without a license, in violation of General Laws, Chapter 148, Section 1, et sec, and Cambridge Municipal Code 8.08.
4 Point. Ashley Oliver. Second call.
Disciplinary matter, Belmont Landscaping, holder of leaf blower permit 10721 for alleged violation of Cambridge Municipal Ordinance 8.16081.2F, more than one employee using a leaf blower within a 10,000 square foot area on April 30th, 2018 at Sancta Maria Hospital, 799 Concord Ave.
Thank you.
Raise your right hand, please.
Yep.
Do you swear the testimony you're about to give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Doug Arbeely.
I'm sorry?
Doug Arbeely, A-R-B-E-E-L-Y.
A-R-B-E-E-L-Y. Thank you.
You're welcome. Andrea Boyer, B-O-Y-E-R.
Go ahead, Ms. Boyer.
Thank you very much. A complaint was made by Ed Abrams alleging that on April 30th, 2018 at 10:30 a.m., the Belmont Landscaping was using three leaf blowers within 10 feet of one another at the Santa Maria Hospital located at 799 Concord Ave. To be in violation of 816.0812F, more than one employee utilizing a leaf blower within a 10,000 square foot area. The Belmont Landscaping is a permitted company. Their prior history is that January 11th, there was a resident complaint. A hearing was held. No violation was found by the board. and July 26, 2017, the CAD call resident complaint hearing held warning issued by the board.
Thank you. Is Mr. Abrams here today? No, right?
I did not see him.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Abili.
You know, that they, at some point, I'm sure, stand within 10 feet of each other, but the machines are not on the high speed. When they're either leaving the vehicle where they're coming from or going back to it, they might get within 10 feet near each other at some point. I can't be certain. But
you do understand that regardless of the speed of the leaf blowers pursuant to the ordinance, they cannot be 10 feet from each other, regardless of the amount of space of the parcel.
I can't be sure of anything that day other than you know, what the guys told me. And that,
what did they tell you?
That they kept 10 feet away from each other.
So they were 10 feet from each other?
Yes.
So they were violating the ordinance? Were they operating the leaf blowers within 10 feet of each other?
No. No, they were spaced by more than 10 feet.
Did they tell you, what did they tell you? Yeah. I think I totally misunderstood. What did they tell you?
Okay. That, you know, they were using one at a time at a low speed.
Each of them was using a leaf blower at a time?
Correct.
That they were never using the three leaf blowers simultaneously?
Right.
Ms. Boyer, Mr. Abrams usually sends pictures or videos. Do we have any for this one?
No, and he normally is here to testify. I know that he was notified, but this has also been, this date has been changed a couple times. He may have misunderstood the new date, but he was very much available for today. This is why we scheduled it, so I'd like an opportunity to check with him.
Yeah, I'm going to give this a second call.
Okay.
Please stay around. Thank you.
Disciplinary matter, Crystal George, doing business as Porter Square Psychic Studio, holder of fortune teller license number 14081 at 1925 Mass Ave, for failure to renew fortune teller license and operating without a license in violation of General Laws Chapter 140, Section 185L.
Crystal George?
I don't see her.
Okay, second call.
Disciplinary matter, Godin Street, LLC, doing business as The Rising, holder of common victualler, all alcohol and entertainment license number 11554 at 1172 Cambridge Street, due to alleged violation of using amplification without a valid license on May 19, 2018, in violation of, but not limited to, General Laws Chapter 140, Section 183A, and the Rules and Regs of the City of Cambridge Board of License Commissioners 2.1 through 2.6 and 10.1.
If you could remain standing for a
while. Then raise your right hands, please. Swear the testimony you're about to give to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do. Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please say and spell your names for the record?
Kevin Traynor, T-R-E-A-N-O-R.
Thank you.
E-D-O-O-D-Y.
D-O-O-D-Y?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Tyler Bubenik, C-Y-L-E-R, B-U-B-E-N-I-K.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Bubenik.
I investigated The Rising after the License Commission had gotten some noise complaints. I found out through my investigation that, according to our records, they were licensed for live music, but not amplified live music. So I went to observe the restaurant on the night of May 19th. At around midnight, a band took the stage with amplified live music.
And when you say amplified, do you mean microphone only, or do you mean
microphone? I also mean instrument amplifiers.
How many do you recall?
I don't recall the exact number.
But at least one?
At least one.
Mr. Traynor or Mr. Duty?
Yeah, I was not there that night, unfortunately, but the guys did plug in, and I thought that we could plug in the singers, and we strictly told the bands not to amplify any of their instruments. So that's why I'm applying after this hearing on this disciplinary to try and get amplification for the singers at the Rising, because it's impossible to hear them unless there are some sort of amplification.
Mr. Bubinek, when you were there that day, could you hear the music from outside?
I could hear from outside. That's how I knew that the music had started before I entered the establishment.
Was it plainly audible at a distance of 50 feet?
I don't think at any point I was ever 50 feet away, but if I had to speculate, I would say that it was.
Is the complainant here?
As a note, Madam Chairman, I've been trying to find this, Kathy, I think it's Griffin, is that right? I've walked up and down the streets to find out where she lives. I hoped that she would have reached out to me originally regarding the sound, because no one else has been complaining about the sound, and including the people that live up above us. I know they've sent in some letters in support of us getting amplification of some type. We've been very diligently outside along Tremont Street. We know it's a neighbourhood that you just do not want to annoy. And for the love of me, I cannot find this woman who keeps ringing. And the police have been around, I don't know how many times, five or six times.
Yeah, they've actually come in and said.
They just stand outside and they say, well, I can't hear anything.
They've come in and asked what was the complaint for, because there was no noise apparent to them. So.
Well, there was on May 19th. Were you there that night?
I wasn't. I had left. It was after the Celtics playoff game, and I had left before the band started.
Okay. So that night, Mr. Trainer, pursuant to Mr. Bubinek's observations, they were amplifying the instruments as well.
Well, that's what I found out from Steve, who was my manager on record that night. To say the least, I wasn't too happy with that. I'll be honest, we have been amplifying the singers, but I did not realize that was amplification. But no other night was the band ever amped in. Not when Ian's usually there all the time.
Did Steve know that they were amplifying the instruments?
I don't think he did.
Sir Bubinek, anything to say on that?
It was a basic rock band, so you had a guitar, a bass, you know, maybe a keyboard, I can't remember exactly, but they were amplified.
I remember when this came up in 2016 to get this live music, it was a long process for you guys.
Yes.
I think there was a lot of conversations with ISD in terms of the zoning approval.
Yeah.
And I know that the license issued very specifically with the fact that no amplification was allowed. So based on that, I would issue a violation. Quite frankly, I'm inclined for a suspension, but I'm happy to.
What is the disciplinary history?
None.
How long have you been in operation, sir?
2.5 years.
I'd be inclined with a violation warning.
How about a violation and a one day held in abeyance for 6 months?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. So violation, one day held in abeyance for 6 months.
I'm sorry, you either need to come into the room or be out of the room. You can't block the doorways. Application, Godin Street, LLC, doing business as The Rising. Holder of common victualler, all alcohol and entertainment license number 11554 at 1172 Cambridge Street, has applied to amend their existing live entertainment license to allow for amplified sound.
Good afternoon, and again for the record, Kevin Trainer and Ian Duty. Yeah. Mr. Trainer, can you tell us the need for this change?
Well, basically, you know, we since we got the violation, we stopped all entertainment on the band side. And we found that we do need some sort of entertainment, especially at the weekend for late night, Friday and Saturday especially. So we were hoping that we could get some sort of amplification to continue to do some sort of entertainment. We would find it impossible unless we had the singers amplified of some way, because you couldn't hear them over the crowd. So basically we're trying to enhance our business with some entertainment that could be amplified.
And Mr. Trainer, did you have a meeting with ISD today?
I did, yes.
And what happened at that meeting?
Well, Elizabeth was there as well, and he basically said that we could have the singers amplified.
And by he, you mean?
Ranjit.
Not entirely.
Ms. Lynch?
He said that inspectional services won't say whether it can or can't be amplified or what the level of amplification could be, but that the license commission could make it a condition of their license.
I will tell you what's my hesitation with this application. I remember, like I said in the previous hearing, I remember it well from 2016. When I was reviewing the file, I noticed the ISD signing on it, and it says two-person music, twice per week, accessory use. We tried to get some clarification from ISD in terms of what the accessory use meant. The commissioner added the no amplification again to the zoning sign-off, which is why the meeting with you and ISD and Ms. Lynch was requested, just so that we could all be on the same page. Ms. Lynch reported what she just said with regard to this application. I have since sent an email to ISD requesting very specific clarification on what appears to be cross-communication with regard to what's happening. I have yet to receive a response to that communication. I will continue hearing, and if anyone's here to further talk about this hearing, I will certainly listen to it, but I think where I'm inclined right now is to defer our decision on this until I get some clarification from ISD with regard to what this accessory use specifically means for them.
Okay.
Because if I understand it correctly, where you are, zoning does not allow the live entertainment, so hence the accessory use.
Yeah.
And we want to cross our T's and dot our I's, but that would be my recommendation.
Has there been any notification to abutters?
Yes. I know.
And what has been the...
So the record reflects we have gotten multiple communications, emails from people in the area in support of the application. There's multiple emails I'll show them to you now. And we also got a letter from Councillor Toomey in support of the application as well. We have not received any opposition to the application.
There is one that came in today.
Okay.
And it's from the same complainant from the prior incident.
Yeah, okay. I can't see the front. And I'd like to say, like,
name?
The people up above us have also sent in letters of support.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I understand, yeah, good, it's very...
Right there. So just for the record, Ms. Higgins' opposition reads as follows. I'm writing out of concern for the use of amplified music by the Rising as the number of bars, restaurants grows, and as they add outdoor seating windows that open onto the street and live entertainment, it is important to keep in mind that these are dense residential areas. Particularly, the Rising is very near a large building of elderly disabled persons. These and other residents should not be subject to loud music at late hours. Your entertainment application is for the inside of the premises only, correct?
We don't have that.
And you don't have the outdoor seating? No. You never set it up?
We tried to, but we couldn't get it. So the windows are closed at all times. Believe me, we're outside all the time, diligently. The sound is not really a problem.
After they forced the original couple of sound complaints from in around the area, we actually hired a sound engineer to work inside the bar and outside to make sure there was no sound problems after that. So like, we've been working very diligently on that, which is a big concern for us.
Do you have outdoor seating?
No.
Do you have any other questions? I'm just going to take opposition and support now.
Yeah, I mean, I would be inclined to support it pending the definitive statement from the ISD.
Okay. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. So your recommendation is to approve?
I would approve pending definitive written statement from Inspectional Services.
Okay. I would, and then with that condition of how they applied and how zoning has it of no more than two vocalists 3 times per week.
That'd be fine if we could get that. You know, it would really help us.
Okay. So, I mean, if we get a definitive answer that does not contradict the allowance of amplification for the singers only, is that a...
Singers only, yeah.
Not the instruments.
Not the instruments. So, if we get a definitive answer from ISD saying that the accessory use for which they have been approved is for this two-person limit of twice per week with amplification only as to the singer, then I would say that we grant and we issue the license at that time. If something comes up where it is contradictory, I would suggest we bring this back on August 15th, which is our next hearing, and then discuss it then. Yeah. Okay, so you'd have to present all over again because Commissioner Bard would be here. Okay.
Excuse me, you can't block that doorway. The chair can't be in front of the door.
Yeah, that's my bad. So, I'm going to put it in the hallway.
So we'll wait to hear back from ISD, and we'll be in touch with you with regard to what the response from ISD was and whether or not it complies with what was voted on today.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
With that said, let it be very clear. You cannot have any amplification at all,
yeah,
you can do what you are currently licensed for, which is the, where are we? The live musical instruments, no amplification, three nights only,
okay,
per week. Okay?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Application DeLeo Auto Body Incorporated, doing business as DeLeo's Auto Body, has applied for a garage license with additional flammables at 75 Hamilton Street for 15 vehicles, 150 gallons of gasoline in the tanks of autos only, 70 gallons of class 3A, 3B, and 80 cubic feet of flammable gases, acetylene.
No.
Okay.
You signed your application under the pains and penalties of perjury, so we don't
oh,
need
God.
To swear you in.
No pops over here.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
The last name is DeLeo, D-E-L-E-O.
And your first name?
Leo.
Thank you. And Mr. DeLeo, this is this for new stuff?
This is...
Because you already have a license.
No, we just found out that we need a license after 40 years of being in business.
But do you have the DeLeo, are you not the same for the DeLeo garages?
I'm DeLeo's Auto Body in Cambridge, yeah.
And then the one that we have under the DeLeo garages, is that not you?
75 Hamilton Street in Cambridge.
I think it's the same thing.
According to them, I don't have a garage license and I had to apply for one.
Mr. DeLeo, will you bear a moment with me?
Yeah.
Ms. Boyer, if you can pull out last hearing, we had a violation hearing for the DeLeo garages.
Mm-hmm.
If you can pull that file, it might actually be in Ms. Lynn's office.
It's not.
Or if you can...
It might be on Chris's desk.
There are notes with regard to what was voted on yesterday. I mean, last week. If we're going to give you a second call. Bear with us for a moment. Thank you. If you can take a seat back out, and then we'll call you right back. Thank you.
Application PHY Investment Incorporated, doing business as Takamura, holder of common victualer license number 13288 at 18 Elliott Street, basement. Approved hours of 8 a.m. to 1 a.m. Monday through Saturday, 12 p.m. to 1 a.m. Sunday, seating for 59, occupancy of 75. Has applied to add wine and malt beverages to said license. James Wang is manager of record. Of a premise described as approximately 2,350 square feet in basement level with four rooms, one entrance, and two exits.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state and spell your names for the record? Please take a seat.
Kayang Wang, K-A-Y-U-N-G. Last name is W-O-N-G. I'm due to represent the applicant.
Thank you.
James Huang, H-U-A-N-G.
Hold on a second. H-U-A-N-G?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. And Mr. Wang, do you want to start and then I'll ask my questions?
Yes, sure. My client has the CV license. He opened the business on February 2nd this year, and since then a lot of the clients have been asking them to apply for the wine and malt license because that's the demand of the market. That's why we're here. Mr. Huang has restaurant experience for over 10 years, and he's currently the manager of the restaurant, and we filed the tips certificate with your office, and the abutters listing, the green cards. I filed a photocopy and then I brought in just the originals today.
We did get the tips.
Yes. And the operations will be the same, the hours, the only thing that changes is that we would like to have the wine and malt license for the restaurant.
So the public need for this license is basically customers have been asking for it?
Correct.
And if you can remind the board about your operation, what Takamura serves currently, culinary-wise.
What's the menu like?
Japanese and a little bit Korean.
Sushi, rolls, yeah. So cooked food. And if I may, I did ask my client as if this is approved, how he's going to check the IDs, and he told me that he's going to tell all the employees, everybody, he does not want to give the employees any discretion, that, okay, yeah, this person looks over 30, you know, this is not, so just say that everybody, and if the customer asks, why the employee would tell the customer that this is what the owner says, if I don't do it, I'll get fired, so.
And are you serving breakfast right now there?
No.
And do you plan to serve breakfast?
No.
Okay. I guess I'm confused why I request an 8 a.m. opening Monday through Saturday.
Yeah. The first time when we have the first having, that's the same schedule. It has been like from the previous. That's from the previous owner. So we just.
So you guys are new owners?
Yes, since February 2nd, 2018.
Okay, but that wasn't filed with us.
Correct, because when we asked, when I asked my client whether they wanted to take it, no, we just put this fine, and then.
Okay, so the owners that opened in February are not the owners that are requesting this malt and wine. So this is a new application.
No, it's the same.
Okay.
Same one. Yeah. But they did not know that. The client would be asking for.
When they went into this location, they did everything the same as what the prior establishment had.
Okay, I see. Okay, so you are not open for breakfast and you do not intend to be open for breakfast.
No.
What time do you currently open?
Right now it's 11:30 to 10 o'clock.
All days?
All day.
Okay, and I guess, counselor, that explains why when your clients applied, they said that they weren't going to apply for an alcoholic beverage license. It's because they were just basically taking over the business and doing the same as
correct.
Was there before?
Correct.
Mr. Huang, I did receive your 21-proof certification, or your TIP certification. Can you tell us a little bit, though, about your experience?
I learned from the tips. I have to check everybody's ID first, and then if I see something wrong, I have to refuse to serve the alcohol, and make sure like the third party person like make sure everything like someone's underage is not serve the alcohol. I have to let all my employees know must be checked ID.
Okay. And you've never been the manager of record on a liquor license before, is that correct?
Yes, no.
Okay. Any questions? Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I would vote to grant, but I would vote to grant with 11:30 to 10 p.m. hours, 7 days per week. Yeah? Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Go back to Mr. DeLeo.
Yeah, give me 1 second. Back to DeLeo Auto Body. Okay, Mr. DeLeo, you currently have a garage license for 77 Huron Avenue.
No, that's not us.
That's not you. Okay.
There we go.
That answers. Okay. So this is your application for your license for your location.
Correct. 75 Hamilton Street in Cambridge.
Okay, perfect. And what do you do here at DeLeo's Auto Body?
We're Auto Body.
Okay. And do you have vehicles that park in this location?
Yes, we do.
And do they park overnight there?
Yes, they do.
And do you charge them to park there overnight?
No.
These are vehicles that you're working on?
Correct.
And you have a total of 15 spaces?
We can fit about 15 cars inside there.
And then you have 70 gallons of combustible liquids and 80 gallons of flammable gas?
Correct. But we're, hazardous waste. We have two 18 gallons, another gallon of waste in our, and then paints.
All right, sounds good.
You've been in business how long?
It's 1978. In Cambridge.
Welcome. 4 decades later.
Yeah, like I said, this is news to us because normally we never got notified of any permits. So when somebody came down, they said, well, where's your garage permits? What do you mean?
You had flammable permits.
I have a flammable permit, correct. Right. Which you guys come in every year to check out the place. So
I did request a lease.
I do have one. Like everybody else in Cambridge, you lease from MIT. Is that the
Thank
one
you.
Want? I got a couple more.
That's fine. We're good with one copy. Thank you. Any questions?
No.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? I will go to Grant. Granted. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, too.
If you need anything.
Thank you. Application BP. No, let's. I'm sorry. We're just gonna skip number 13.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see Mr. Vincent. Disciplinary rehearing from February 28, 2018. Royal Punjab Enterprises Incorporated, doing business as Royal Punjab, holder of common victualer license number 12238 at 251 Cambridge Street. Due to allegedly operating without a valid license and altering their license in violation of, but not limited to, General Laws, Chapter 140, Sections 2, 9, and 20.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, Mr. Commissioner. Dennis Benzin for Madame Singh. We're also joined by Aranjit Singh. Sit up here with us, please. We will be testifying.
Okay, so anyone testifying, if you could please stand up and raise your right hand.
Do you swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Benson, can you spell your client's names for the record, please?
Sure. Ranjit, A-R-U-N-J-E-E-T.
Sorry, A?
R-U-N-J-E-E-T.
Mm-hmm.
Madan Singh is M-A-D-A-N-S-I-N-G-H.
Thank you.
Brian McMahon, City Cambridge Building Inspector.
McMahon. M-C-M-A-O-H-O-N.
Correct.
Thank you. Mr. McMahon, I think when we first heard this, you gave us the bulk of the testimony, so why don't you start?
Okay, when I went in to actually do the inspection, the license which was posted on the wall, I asked him to take it down to visually see whether or not it was current. I always ask to see the most recent posted license, and the license year was changed with either black pen or black marker from 2017 to 2018.
Okay. And did you talk to anyone at that time about the change on the license?
Yeah, I basically asked who the manager was, and this gentleman here had said that he was actually like the manager slash owner. And there was a bit of a language barrier, but he did basically indicate to know what I was talking about. I told him that he'd be hearing from either Inspectional Services or the License Commission in regards to the tampering of the license.
And do you recall when you went to visit them with regard to this?
The exact date?
Yeah, or month, or I think this was a while back, wasn't it?
It was a while back, yeah.
If I represent to you that it was January 22nd of this year, does that sound about right?
Yeah.
And at that time, did they have a valid certificate of inspection?
It was altered.
CI was also altered?
I'm sorry?
The CI was also altered?
It was the CI that was altered.
The CI or the license?
Common victuals license.
Okay. How about the CI? Had they gotten a 2018 CI from ISD?
At that point, I'm not 100% sure. Now, they're non-alcohol, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so they would go from June to June.
Okay. Why were you inspecting it that day?
I think there was a complaint. Actually, I had gone down there because of the number of seating that was questioned.
Okay.
I went down to check the seating so that the license from Inspectional Services and the license from the License Commission corresponded with the number of occupants.
Okay, I see. All right, thank you. Counselor?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just reserve the right to follow up with some questions after I make a brief statement. As you know, Madam Commissioner, we respectfully ask the board to reconsider this case. This commission had issued a 20-day suspension back in February 23 of this year. Mr. Singh appeared before this board. He did not have the assistance of counsel. There was a language barrier. He had no witnesses, and he was under a tremendous amount of stress on that particular day because of the possibility that his business could be gone forever. And he came to my office and he indicated to me what had happened. And he immediately said that that altering a license was wrong. And he had an explanation for it. And the explanation was basically that back in December of last year, around December 11th, he had planned to travel to India. And the day before he was leaving India, which was on December 12th, he had come into the License Commission. He had filed a renewal application. He had paid his fee. And the following day, he had boarded a flight to India. He did not come back from India until sometime after January of this year. And during that time, Aranjit Singh, who is my client's nephew, was operating the place, and he's 20 years old, had recently graduated from Woburn High, and he was in charge of managing the place while Mr. Singh was in India. As the board knows, Mr. Singh has no prior violations, no criminal record, and he has been operating this place without any issues. And the simple explanation for what happened was that he expected the license to arrive before January 1st. It did not arrive. Aranji, being a young man who was worried and concerned and also dealing with a number of health issues, decided that it was in the best interest of the restaurant for him to change the date on the existing license to reflect a new date. He did that not because he intended on deceiving the board or anybody else. He simply did that because he made a mistake as a young man. And they're here to take responsibility for that. This is a restaurant that struggles to stay open. and a 20-day suspension would simply put them out of business. And so what we're asking the board to do is to reconsider the suspension, or in lieu of suspension, issue a fine, a $50 fine for every single day that the license was posted with the alteration. If I may, at this point, just inquire of Mr. McMahon.
I have a question, Counselor. Go ahead. Do your questions, and then I'll ask your
questions. Okay. Inspector McMahon, when you arrived at Punjab, was Mr. Singh cooperative?
This gentleman here.
Yes.
Very cooperative.
And did he ever tell you that he had filed a renewal application?
That I do not recall, no.
And you had indicated to the board that you were there because someone had filed a complaint, or you were making sure that the seating was consistent with what the License Commission had?
The reason for my making a visit there was because we needed to make sure that the occupancy load from ISD matched the current occupancy from the License Commission.
And do you know why on January 22nd he had not received the renewal license, the new license in the mail?
No, like that, I have no idea. I do the inspections. I have nothing to do with issuing the license.
And do you know if it had anything to do with an inspection not having taken place prior to December 31st?
No, they're non-alcohol serving, so they would have gotten a new license in June.
A new COI. Counselor, I can tell you for the record, I know that you weren't here last time, but the Royal Punjab's record shows that they did file the renewal in a timely manner in December, as you very well said, that the license did not issue because they could not produce a certificate of occupancy or a certificate of inspection from ISD. That sprung the ISD investigation because ISD had them with less than 20 seats, and hence they didn't have a certificate of inspection, had never been issued to them. That spurred the inspection from ISD because they were in fact operating with 21 seats.
And so
the license did not issue until the certificate of inspection issued, which is the normal process for common victualler licenses.
And understood, Madam Chair, and I guess the concern that Mr. Singh had was that he was obviously away and he had not received a letter or notice indicating that the CI...
He had three different messages and emails from this office telling him that the license had not issued because the certificate of inspection was missing.
Understood, but
license expired December 31st, 2017.
That's understood, but I, as I indicated to the board, Mr. Singh was out of the country, and the restaurant was being operated by Aranji, and so that's where the issue is. And I think that when the board issued its decision, it described that my client had intentionally altered the license, and we're here to tell you that it was a mistake that a young man had made, thinking that it was okay because Mr. Singh had filed for the license back in December. And so, again, they're taking full responsibility, but we don't believe that the penalty fits the crime. This is a situation where a 20-day suspension will put a family business out forever.
To be clear, what the board said was that it was clear to the board that Mr. Singh or his brother altered a legal document or have no control over their staff who changed the document without their knowledge. Word intentional is not necessarily there, but Mr. Singh did bring his brother to the hearing that day, and he did also testify. Mr. Singh, when did you become aware that your nephew altered the license?
January.
In January, you became aware that he altered the license?
No, he told me that.
When did he tell you?
When I come back.
In January?
Yeah.
This is my issue, Counselor. We had this hearing in February 28th. On February 28th, he was asked multiple times, and both you and your brother said that you did not know that neither of you had done it, and you do not know who had done it. And now we sit here today, and your client is telling us that he knew who did it.
Well, Madam Commissioner, I mean, the simple answer to that is that there was a language barrier. And it was not until, as I indicated in the letter that I sent to the commission requesting a new hearing,
mm-hmm.
I was going to conduct my own investigation, and I did that. And I went to the location, I spoke to the employees, and we got to the bottom of it. And so we're here to tell you today that the story that they're telling you today is what happened, and that he did not really fully understand a lot of the questions that he was being asked at the last hearing. And my understanding was that Aranji was not here to testify at the last hearing.
He was not. Your client, Mr. Singh, and his brother were both
yes.
here to testify.
Right. And his brother didn't have very much, had absolutely no knowledge of what had happened.
Do you communicate with Mr. Singh through a translator?
I sometimes do, yes. I do have someone come in from the restaurant. Aranji has also been very helpful in communicating whatever it is that I'm asking in my office.
Mr. Singh, when we asked you at the last hearing whether you knew who had altered the document, did you understand our question?
No. The first time you are gone?
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
So when we asked you who changed the document, you did not understand that question?
Yeah. That time no asking anything.
You understand it today?
Yeah.
In fact, Madam Chair, if I recall from the decision, there's language in the decision that states that inferences were basically drawn from my client's expressions, and that tended to indicate that he was somewhat guilty of altering the.
No, I think what the board said was that when he was asked if he changed the date on the license, he said no, and he didn't know who did it. Then he questioned all of his employees, and none of them admitted to changing the date. I mean, do you have other questions? Because quite frankly, counselor, I understand what you're saying. I understand the argument that you're making, but I quite frankly do not find your client credible. I think, yes, there could be a language barrier, and yes, there could be questions that are not understood and that may have not been understood, but these were questions that were asked in various different ways. And the fact that he said that he testified that he asked all of his employees and none of them admitted and none of them changed the license tells me that he knew exactly what he was being asked. And today, almost 6 months down the line, we have a different story. A story that fits for his convenience because of the suspension that we gave him. Now, I'm happy to hear arguments as to the amount of days and what we do with that, but quite frankly, I think this is a violation. I think this is a humongous violation, and I am, you know, I'm there.
I mean, Madam Chair, if I may, you know, I understand the frustration, but we also need to understand that he had a right to at that time to be represented by counsel. He was not represented by counsel. He did not have an interpreter. And this is what leads to these types of mistakes. He's here today taking responsibility. As I indicated before, I wrote to the board. I told the board that I was going to be conducting my own investigation. And it was only after that investigation and after my questioning that we arrived at what exactly happened. And that's why we're here. And that's why this is a new hearing.
Counselor, your client just testified that he knew in January who altered the license. That did not come out of your investigation unless you're telling me that on January he hired you.
He did not hire me in January, Madam Chair. But again, maybe he didn't understand your question. I mean, I think that's the issue here.
Not understanding my question can be one thing. Testifying out of his own mouth with certain words that he used is another. That's the difference that I'm talking about, Counselor. Do you have any questions?
Mr. Singh, how long have you been in the restaurant business?
Personally, I have 20 years.
20 years?
Yeah.
And do you periodically travel out of the country for
sometimes.
Extended periods of time?
Sometimes.
And when
Not
you,
always.
And when you do you normally check in periodically with who is running the business while you are away?
Yeah, he's running it.
He's running it, but do you communicate with him
either through telephone or email or anything to check up on the business to make sure everything is okay?
I stay only 3 weeks. My mother is died. He never somebody call. I only have 3 weeks over there. He never called me. I never called him.
So you were gone for 3 weeks and you had no communication between the two of you while you were away?
No.
But in other periods when you have traveled outside the country or within the country for extended periods of time?
That time I call. That time I go, my mom is sick, this way I'm
okay. I understand that.
Yeah.
But so you normally would communicate to find out if there's any problems or anything is going on with the restaurant in particular?
I never called.
You never call?
Yeah.
Well, a minute ago you said you do call.
No, when sometime I go other days, not this time. This my
right, I'm not talking about this time specifically, I'm saying...
Other time I call, yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I just want to make sure that I'm clear about, I guess, what my client is testifying about, and that is that during this particular time when he traveled to India, his mom was very ill, and he did not communicate with the restaurant as regularly as he would
in
other
that.
Times. I just wanted to make sure that was clear, Mr.
I understand
Chair.
That.
Thank you.
I just, I would concur with the chair that his statements, whether he had legal representation or not, his statements made here in February, his total contradiction to the statements he makes today, and I just, that's troubling.
I also want to say, for the record, that the hearing notice specifically informs Mr. Singh that he is able to bring counsel. I mean, the fact that he didn't bring counsel was of his choice. So I just want to make that clear for the record, Counselor. I also want to make clear that when Mr. McMahon went to review the 21 seats versus what ISD had on their records, he noted that there were 30 seats on the premises, which were above ISD's records and our records. You know, I understand what you're saying, but I understand that what you're saying in terms of your client's demeanor that we noticed in the last hearing, that this is not a matter of being nonchalant about the issue, that this is not a matter of trying to sort of pull the wool over our eyes or whatever, but I am firm on the fact that your client was very clear. I think your client did either not testify truthfully last time or is not testifying truthfully today. But with that said, it's very clear that the license was altered. Quite frankly, I think today has been made very clear to me that he knew, at least at the hearing, who altered the license. And he had an opportunity to tell us at that time, and he did not. I would continue with the vote of the violation, and quite frankly, I would keep the 20-day suspension.
Madam Chair, I'm making an appeal to the board that a 20-day suspension will basically put them out of business, and the punishment does not fit the crime. And you know, we understand that this is very serious. Had he not filed for a renewal application back in December, then I could understand, you know, this reaching a level that required a 20-day suspension and merited a 20-day suspension. In this particular case, he's testifying truthfully here today. He saw private counsel because he takes this matter very serious. This young man that's here to testify to the board today is taking responsibility for what happened. My client has already indicated to the board that he was not in communication with the restaurant. So he had every intention of renewing the license. This was a mistake that a young man made, and now an entire family is going to pay a heavy price, and they may go out of business, and they may lose their source of income. So I understand the severity of this, but again, Madam Chair, the punishment certainly does not fit the crime.
Thank you, Counselor.
So the decision was, what, 20 days?
Yep. They've been around since 2012. They originally opened as Ultimate Pizza and Wings and then changed to Royal Punjab in 2015.
Consideration was his attempt to the steps he did take to renew the license, and I would just say I would continue with the 20-day suspension, but I would hold 5 of those days in abeyance.
I can do that. So we're affirming the violation. We are affirming the suspension, but doing 20-day suspension and 5 days held in abeyance, 15 to be served?
Correct. That would be...
How long would we hold in abeyance the 5?
15 to be served and 5 to be held in abeyance for a year.
Okay. So that's the board vote. You'll receive a statement of reason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Application BP Cambridge Center Residential LLC has applied for a flammables license at 88 Ames Street for 660 gallons of Class 2 diesel fuel in an AST.
Please sit down.
Chief.
Is Mr. Abrams here? I'm sorry, sir. Can we give you a second call really quickly? Sorry. Thank you. That's what I wanted to check before we went on that one. We're back to Belmont Landscaping.
Number 3.
Did the Belmont Landscape guy leave, even though I told him not to?
He did leave. He said that his testimony stands. He was confused about the second call.
Okay. Mr. Abrams, could you please stand up and raise your right hand?
I swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Edwin, E-A-D-W-I-N-E, Abrams, A-B-R-A-M-S.
Thank you. Did you say there's an E after Edwin?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I don't think I've ever written it down. Mr. Abrams, can you tell us what you observed on April 30th at Santa Maria Hospital?
So I was jogging by on Concord Avenue, and I always keep my eyes out at Santa Maria Hospital because they constantly use leaf blowers, oftentimes out of season or too many. So this time I noticed there were 3 landscapers, probably within 5 feet of each other, working very closely together. So I filed a complaint because I was aware that that's a violation.
Were these 3 individuals operating leaf blowers at the same time?
Yes. Yep.
Could you hear the leaf blowers
yes.
being operated at the same time?
Yes.
Could you see them operate at the same
yes.
time?
Yes. And then I saw the truck that was right next to them that said Belmont Landscaping and Tree Service.
Okay. Thank you. Do you have any questions?
Just out of curiosity, what time of day was this?
Around 10:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made calls several times in the past directly to the hospital, to the front desk, to public relations. So they're very aware of this issue, but they don't seem to think it's a problem. And this is going back like 5 years.
You live in the neighborhood as well?
I live in Cambridge. I go to Fresh Pond and jog around that area.
To be clear, the statement that Mr. Arbeley before was that at some point they stood within 10 feet of each other, and then he changed it to that they never were operating and that he could not know exactly what happened that day. With that said, I would vote a violation. I know that they received the warning in 2017. I would issue a $300 fine for this.
Okay.
Violation, $300 fine. Thank you for coming.
You're
in.
Welcome. Thanks.
Back to Cambridge Center Residential.
You need to sign that one, too. Yeah.
Let's try it again.
Second
Thank
time
you.
The charm.
good afternoon. Please state and spell your name for the record.
Michael O'Hearn, O-H-E-A-R-N.
And this is a new license?
Yes. It's a new construction.
Okay, new construction.
This is the building that's going, that's between Broadway and Main on Ames?
Yes.
And this is just for diesel storage?
Yes. It's for an emergency generator.
Emergency generator?
Yeah.
How big is the building?
Building is 23 stories.
Okay, and it is going to be... Residential?
It's all residential.
All residential. Rental or all condominium?
Rental.
And then the fuel oil tanks, those don't have to get a license, don't they? Do they?
So 660 gallons of class 2 in an above ground tank, and then is that the total fuel storage
That's
for
the
generator?
Total fuel storage. So there's two... tanks in the basement
yep.
that are above ground, and then there's a day tank up by the generator.
60 gallons
so,
on the roof?
Yeah, so we're encompassing all of that fuel on the 660.
Oh, okay.
And that would run, what's the time, the load on that? That would run, your fuel storage would be for how long?
About 8 hours.
8 hours, yeah. And it's life safety systems only?
Just life safety.
Okay. Any other questions? No. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition? We'll vote to grant.
Thank you.
Granted. Thank you.
Application rehearing from June 6, 2018, 1071 Cambridge Street, LLC, doing business as Angel Share, holder of a common victualler wine and malt license at... license number 11495 at 1071 Cambridge Street, has applied for a change of license category to all alcohol, change of DBA to BISC, and a change of beneficial interest.
Because it's so that they don't mess up the fee calculations there. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Commissioner Andrew Upton for the applicant, UPTON, Keith Pooler, P-O-O-L-E-R, manager and LLC member.
I just want to say for the record that we heard this on June 6th of this year, and there were a few issues that came up, but particularly the reason we are doing a full-blown rehearing is because the abutters weren't notified, so we had to re-advertise it in.
But we understand, and the re-advertisement has occurred. The abutters have been notified. Yep. I have received no contact from any of them, and neither has Keith.
No.
Neither have we, and just because of that, I would just say that we incorporate by reference everything that was said on June 6th so that we don't have to go through everything again. I do note that there were things that came up. We had discussed getting the arbitration award, but we received your communication, Mr. Upton, that it was in fact a settlement, not an arbitration award, and I do know that that's in the record already.
Okay. Yes, the day before the arbitration was to occur, they reached a settlement. The settlement is memorialized in the amended and restated operating agreement, which we have submitted for the record.
Mm-hmm. And we'll make sure that if this is approved, it's sent up to the ABCC as well. And with regard to the financials, there were two financials that we needed, the LLC, but we noted that that's part of the operating agreement and hence no financials on that, correct?
Right, that was a transfer of interest as demonstrated by the operating agreement. Therefore, there was no money in the bank 3 months beforehand.
And then, bless you. And then the other individual that did the $50,000, that you submit those financials?
Those are here. This is Mr. Ames, and this was a transfer from his interest in Bergamot to BISC, and this is the Bergamot ledger that shows the withdrawals adding up to $50,000.
Thanks. Thank you. And then we needed a... for the transfer part of the application, we needed the change of corporate structure. Did you bring that?
We did. We went back to the original corporate structure. We skipped over the one in the middle, and the current one is at the bottom.
Okay.
We also have, for the record, we have just received an email of support from...
the Cambridge Business Association.
East Cambridge?
East Cambridge.
There's a copy in the file, actually.
Yeah,
oh, you got that also?
Okay. Okay, with that said, I would incorporate by reference our vote and just reaffirm that we granted this application, and I would suggest that we do that today.
Concur.
Okay. Granted.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your help on this.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for your patience, too. Okay.
Application 88 Cambridge Park Limited Partnership has applied for a garage license at 80 Cambridge Park Drive for 109 parking spaces and 1,090 gallons of gasoline and the tanks of autos only.
Anyone?
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Joseph Robichaud, R-O-B-I-C-H-A-U-D.
Thank you. And this is this still part of the reclassifying by address, or is
yes.
this new construction?
Nope, this is the readdressing of the original 88 Cambridge Park Drive.
And then this said that this is for 109 parking spots on level one of the garage.
Correct.
Are there other levels to the garage where
well,
there's going to be parking?
The readdressing was all 88 with a building on the western portion, another building on the eastern portion, and a seven-story standalone garage in the middle of the two.
Mm-hmm.
So that middle structure is now 82 Cambridge Park Drive. That has seven stories in it.
Okay.
84, which is the building that's already got the TCO, has 18 spaces on the first floor only under the residential. And that's going to be similar to the east building.
Do you have a drawing by any chance?
I do.
Look out.
Yeah. So that's, I think, do you have the full site drawing as well?
I don't know. It's
yeah, so that one is very small, but.
This might help too.
This is one. This is more.
Okay. So,
so these are the buildings in the back adjacent to the railroad right away.
Correct.
These are rentals or
rentals only. Yes.
Okay. And how many units of housing total?
In this eastern portion, there is 199.
So
on that 84 Cambridge Park section.
Yep.
There is 55, and in the middle is just garage.
So 80 Cambridge Park Drive has?
80 is the retail space at the lower level adjacent to the garage.
Okay.
And then 84, I believe, is the western portion with 55 units that has 18 spaces.
So 55 units and 84?
Yes.
And then where are the other units?
In the 80 Cambridge Park Drive, which is...
And how many units in there?
199.
109.
99.
199 units, 109 spots.
Okay. Spots, yes.
All right, okay. So you have 254 units of housing total.
Correct.
With parking for?
Well, we have a certain allowance for the 82 garage that is shared with the offices at 125 and 150 Cambridge Park Drive.
Okay, yeah.
I don't recall what the exact split is.
That's where I'm a little confused. So you're looking for a license to accommodate only 109 spaces.
Well, they got recently, because this is based on DPW's giving them a different address.
Yeah.
They already got the license for
the
84
and 82.
And 82. So
the seven-story one. Yeah,
the
seven-story got theirs first because that was contingent upon our permit. We had to build a garage for the neighboring office buildings.
And you're not storing any flammables on this side?
Just what's in the fuel tank.
What's in the tank.
Yes.
So this explains it. So if I were to walk in off of Cambridge Park Drive, this would be the building to the far left.
Correct. Adjacent to Life Brook Parkway, right at the bridge there that goes over the tank.
Okay. So 109 spaces. This one kind of explains it better. It's upside down. 109 spaces on that end.
Yes.
The others have already been permitted and
licensed.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone in favor of this petition?
I'm sorry, one question. Date of occupancy?
We are shooting for August 24th.
Okay. Anyone in opposition to the petition? I would vote to grant, provided that you also fire chief sign the fire department you're going to. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take those.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't get them back, so I just took a screenshot of what the
just whatever you have.
Internet showed. We sent them all out, but
no, this is fine.
Okay.
And do you have the affidavit?
Yes.
Or did you upload?
That got emailed to yourself, I believe. And
okay. And
I have another copy.
Okay. Can we add this to the? No, that's fine. We don't need it.
Okay.
We have it with us.
Thank you.
Application Shang Lin Incorporated doing business as Poke City has applied for a new common victualer license at 1722 Mass Ave, seating capacity of 14. Proposed hours are 10:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. all days. Yu Shang Wang is proposed manager of record. A firm is described as approximately 1,029 square feet with dining room and food service bar on the left side of emergency egress in the rear.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Please state and spell your names for the record.
Christopher Coleman. That's C-H-R-I-S-T-L-P-H-E-R. Last name Coleman, C-O-L-E-M-A-N. I have Mr. Wang with me. Yishing Wang is spelled Y-I-S-H-E-N-G. Last name Wang, W-A-N-G.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is this the same as the current operation? Or not in this? Is this the same as the other Poke City?
It's Poke.
But it's a different location.
This one's at 1722. I don't think you're not operating that now. This is they're coming in new, I believe.
Okay.
So there's another one in Harvard Square, I believe.
Yeah, I guess my question is, are you related to the ones that are in Harvard Square?
Hmm. It's not a franchise though, but I can't explain that.
Okay.
Different corporation, same DBA.
Yeah. That's why I asked.
Yeah, I can see
okay.
that.
Okay. That's fine.
Hope there's no confusion in that quality.
So why don't you tell us about your operation?
Of course. It's the location at 722 Mass Ave. It's got a little over 1,000 square feet. Kind of small inside. There's not going to be any change to the layout that's there right now. It's pretty much able for them to move into. 14 seats are proposed. There'll be 8 seats at tables, and there's a counter at 6 seats there. 7 days a week, 10:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. The cuisine is it's bowls of, they don't cook anything on site. They bring it all there, and it's sushi, other types of seafood with mixed vegetables and some fruit. And people come in and order, and they get them in bowls, and that's pretty much it. Most of it will probably be takeout, obviously, because of the small amount of people that can sit down there. Mr. Wang has good restaurant experience. He's had 8 years in the business, actually, in restaurants. He's been a sushi chef for most of it, and most of the years he's spent at Tenka Japanese Steakhouse, that's in Westboro, Finn's Sushi and Grill. They have 4 restaurants in Boston. I think he spent time at 3 of them. And,
which one?
I switched them in different locations. So I've been working at Camel and BC area and Chinatown area. Yeah, and the Beacon View.
I asked because I'm very familiar with Finn. So
yeah, I have actually the addresses that he was at there. If I could just
that's fine.
Bear with me for a second. It was Boylston Street, Beacon Street, and Cambridge Street. And that's pretty much all we have.
Okay. Are you serving lunch?
Yes.
Okay. So it wasn't marked on your application, so I'm just going to make that mark there. We have the corporate papers now. Do we have the lease? Did you give us a lease or a letter of intent from the landlord for the space?
I don't know if that was part of the package that you that was sent. I'd need to confirm that, actually.
Okay. Oh, you know what? We do have it. It was uploaded on the system.
Okay.
Yep. Any questions?
No.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? I would vote to grant.
Granted.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Disciplinary matter, Winding Road LLC, doing business as Abigail's, holder of common victualler, all alcohol license number 11437 at 291 3rd Street for alleged transfer of interest of said license without proper approvals. In violation of, but not limited to, General Laws, Chapter 138, Section 23, Rules and Regulations of the City of Cambridge Board of License Commissioners, Rules 2.3, 2.5, and 5.5. In addition, discussion of license premises inspection form number 628 from June 29th, 2018.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
James Ludwig, J-A-M-E-S. L-U-D-W-I-G.
Thank you.
Mark Marte, M-A-R-K, R-A-T-T-E.
R-A-T-T-E?
Yep.
Sir Rate, could you please stand up?
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Ludwig, could you please raise your right hand?
Swear the testimony you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. So we had received a notice from one of the individuals that had been an approved license beneficial interest holder in October that the license had been transferred. We had a hearing, and on October 25th of 2017, you were given 30 days to file the application for the change in beneficial interest. Remember, the board voted that way because, unlike other places where the beneficial interest changes, to new people, the people that had the transfer had been to had been already approved beneficial interest holders. In December of 2017, Ms. Lynch sent an email requesting that you file the application forthwith, and also with regard to renewal application issues. To date, you have not filed the application for change of beneficial interest holders.
It's in non-value license. I remember, or may I talk or should I wait? Or?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I apologize, first of all. You know, I hired a lawyer to do all this to buy my partner out, and she's the mother of my kids, and it's a no-value license, so when I remember we were here the last time, you were like, you should go upstairs and take care of it, get those papers on your way out, and I was like, okay, no. And I went upstairs, and they were like, no, there's no papers for it, you have to do it online. And I was like, okay. So then I called my lawyer, and he was like, that's weird, the whole thing seems odd to me, I don't understand. But anyway.
Who's your lawyer?
His name is escaping me. It's not Dunkless, I have another one, his name is, starts with an M. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So anyway, so I was like, I want to take care of this, I just have to do it online. So I remember the next day or two, spending a whole bunch of time online trying to get this thing done, and calling and talking to people, and going through a bunch of processes. And at one point, someone came to the conclusion, they're like, oh, well, the problem is our website doesn't work with Apple computers. So it wouldn't work with my computer. So I remember talking with people, and I thought that I had documents sent to me that I signed, but I don't know. And it could have slipped away from me, and yeah, I apologize, but I remember making an effort, and I remember being told that I couldn't do it on my computer, and I remember being told that I had no choice but to do it online when I left here.
That could very well be in terms of the ABCC's application, which since then have gone back to paper, so you wouldn't have the issue of the online problem. But
get
you know,
it out of the way now. But.
I mean, it just behooves me that it takes hearings to get you to do stuff or orders to cease and desist. I mean, we had the issue when you renewed the license that you still hadn't been approved with your COI, and yet you guys were operating. So we had to shut you down to get the COI, which you did, and everything was corrected. But it's a lot of work and pulling teeth to get you to operate lawfully, quite frankly. You know, again, with regard to this particular situation, both you and Carl were already beneficial approved, and you were majority holders, so it's not like it's not an issue to change. And this is really a clerical, you need to get it done. This is in violation of Chapter 138. So
I want nothing more than to do that. I really do. I mean, I apologize. It is a no value license, so. But it is clerical, and
but it has nothing to do whether it's a value license or a no value license, right, or a restricted license or a non restricted license. That has nothing to do. This is a license issued pursuant to Chapter 138, which means you have to follow Chapter 138, and currently you are not.
Okay. I asked for the papers. I tried to do it online.
And then June 29th, 2018, Mr. Bubinek, do you want to come up? Can you tell us about this inspection? What happened?
Which is this, the task force? Which date is this?
June 28th, 2018. This one, I'm not quite sure if you were a task force in that one.
Yeah, I noticed a couple things. The first was that an unofficial capacity sign, one of them had been made, not that we had given the establishment, was still hung. And at a previous time, I told them to take that down.
The 140?
Right, but a self-made one, not one that was given to you by the license commission. Which had happened on a previous date.
Okay.
And then also, in terms of your outdoor seating, your patio, your license for a capacity of 40, but you have 44 chairs out there and enough table space to seat 48, so I wanted to be sure.
Okay.
That the maximum occupancy matched the maximum seating, which is also 40 on the license. And just basically be sure that you weren't seating 41, 42 people.
Yeah.
and then the hood sticker was not compliant. I'm assuming that fire went again and inspected that, or they will soon, because they usually do it within 7 days.
I thought you said they...
That's all been taken care of.
Okay.
So what is the current status with respect to the paperwork issues?
They haven't filed anything.
No. And just going back over the paperwork and looking through all my emails and notes and messages, we had sent the paperwork. I know, I believe you sent the link yourself to the ABCC website. Chris sent paperwork. I sent paperwork. And I know there was at one point when I spoke with you, you said, oh, Mark's going to take care of it.
Okay.
And I remember asking you to send me all the paperwork, but I never received any emails from you.
I take full responsibility for it.
We sent paperwork so many
times. I think it's
amazing. Even if you didn't receive the paperwork, it's online. I mean, you guys have been operating for a couple of years now, more than a couple of years now. It is your responsibility to stay up to date with the rules and regulations. ABCC has their information online. They have their own website. We have our website. And quite frankly, it is not on us to be chasing you every 2 minutes to get this done.
Are we talking specifically about the clerical name on the license?
Not the name, the approved beneficial interest holders on the license.
Okay.
So yes, we're talking about that. I'm also talking about the fact that everything is a humongous process with you. I mean, look at something as simple as an investigator telling you that's an unofficial capacity sign, it needs to be taken down. I mean, you guys don't have this painted on the wall, it's literally pull it down. I mean, how difficult can that be?
It wasn't hard.
Questions.
You had mentioned earlier that you have retained an attorney. I mean, you stated you couldn't remember who.
Yeah, Matzkin. Joe Matzkin is his name.
But is the attorney doing?
He I paid him to do what he did, and I guess I can't quote him exactly, but I remember him not understanding what I don't know, and then I apologize. I do remember trying to get the paperwork from upstairs, didn't have it. I remember going online, it wasn't working with my computer. She probably sent the paperwork, and I probably didn't follow through on that end, and I apologize.
So this is what I'm suggesting. This is a clear violation. I find that there's a violation based on the previous decision on this matter based on similar case law on this matter, I would actually issue a 5-day suspension at this point. And I would say that if an application, a complete application, is not in prior to our hearing of August 15th, we bring this back in, and my recommendation at that point would be to suspend the license indefinitely until this gets resolved.
I concur with that.
Okay.
So there is really no, I mean, it's the same people that own the license. There's no real transfer at all. So this is just because I failed to.
This is because under Chapter 138, you cannot be operating the license with beneficial interest holders that are not approved, and with the beneficial interest as approved by the local board and the ABCC. You're operating the license with beneficial interest holders that are not approved in the manner in which you're operating it, because even though there's still two people there that were approved, the third one is out. So your stock in that license has changed.
Is there a way I can get representation right now and have some kind of appeal on this? Because I feel
the board has voted, you will receive a statement of reasons, and you are entitled to appeal that decision. Yes.
Okay.
You will receive all of that in writing. But I can tell you right now that your hearing, you will also receive a hearing notice for August 15th for this same violation. The only way that that will be taken off the August 15th agenda is if you have filed a complete application to correct this matter before August 15th.
So not a transfer of interest, but a complete reapplication I don't understand.
We will send you a decision with all of the information, but basically your application to change the beneficial interest holders on the license has to be submitted before August 15th.
Okay. Is that something I can get upstairs?
That that is something that they can print for you, because right now the ABCC has gone back to paper, yes.
Excellent.
Okay.
Yep. What does this mean? I can't operate for 5 days?
No, you can operate until you receive the statement of reasons, with us telling you and telling you the days that you cannot operate. You have to. You continue operating as is.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that everything?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you want to go back to the second call on 4 Point before?
If they're here, sure.
Are you from 4 Point Investment?
No. What are you here for?
Oh, okay. Yes, because we asked Luke to come. That's right.
So let's call him first.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that. Antonio Alves, on behalf of American Legion, Marsh Post 442, has applied for a one-day alcohol and entertainment license from 1 p.m. to 11 p.m. on July 29th, August 4th, August 11th, September 8th, and September 22nd at Jerry's Landing.
They're coming up. Where is this application, Elizabeth? Do you know?
It should be the second to the last in the green folder.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Good afternoon. My name is Antonio Alves, A-L-V-E-S.
Thank you. Kevin Thompson, T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N.
Okay. Now this is, you currently have a liquor license and an entertainment license for the building, but this is for the outdoor area, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Do you have state or DCR approval to use this area in that regard, to serve alcohol and have this live entertainment in the area?
We are in the process of getting information on a new lease. I spoke to Eve Southers this afternoon. Mm-hmm. And she's indicated that it's in review.
Okay. Did you get, for this one, and I apologize because I had not seen this one before the hearing. I'm not sure when it came in. Certainly not before yesterday, too. Do you know if you sent this to the police and if they signed off as the state troopers on this or no?
I don't believe we have.
Okay. Did we send this to the state troopers to get sign-off?
We did not. I spoke with Charles Linehan, who was the manager of record,
Yep. And
told him that he had to absolutely have state police sign-off. And he said, oh, yeah, I know that. We always get that.
Okay. This is for various states. And tell me, what exactly is this? What's the event? What do you guys do on the outside?
The events here are for Dancing on the Charles.
Okay, and so what's Dancing on the Charles?
Just a group that comes in and plays some music, live DJs.
Okay.
So is it a disc jockey of
disc jockey band. DJs, not a band.
Disc jockey.
Okay. And you sell the alcohol?
Inside, yes.
Okay. Are they able to drink alcohol outside?
We try to make them not drink alcohol outside.
Well, right now they cannot, but if you get this, I guess my question is with regards to this one-day license, are you requesting to allow them to have alcohol outside?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so, and what day is today?
25th.
Okay, sorry. So the next one is 7:29. We don't have a meeting until the 15th, so I would say that I would grant this as malt and wine only because they applied for all alcohol. Hold on. You're a non-profit?
Yeah, what is it? Their current license is all alcohol, right?
Yeah, except for one day, so we can only issue to a non-profit. But if they are a non-profit, do you have your 501c3 with you?
No, I don't.
Okay. So if they provide us a 501c3, I would grant, and the state police sign off, I would grant as is.
You must have, I'm sure you have your 501c3 on the premises, right? I mean, it's an American Legion.
Right.
It's a, veterans program.
I don't have.
We might actually be able to pull it up from the state's website, but I would say grant a contingent upon 501c3 status and state police sign off.
State police sign off. All alcohol, right?
Yep. With that said, if you're going to keep having events where you're having either entertainment or alcohol outside, you need to continue this process until you change that lease and until you amend your license premise description to include the outside. Okay?
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Please get that to us so that we can issue the license.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Administrative matters.
Okay.
Well, you may want to take the rest of them. All right. They just got added on between yesterday and today. So. Application Coffee Company, LLC, doing business as Intrepid Cafe, 151st Street, approved hours of 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., seating for 12, occupancy of 60, applied to add a general on-premise wine and malt license at said address.
Okay, so we had held on to this because we needed a couple of documents. The lease needed to be updated. Their corporate vote needed to be fixed. Had some clerical.
And I don't believe that any of that came in. I sent an email or left a message yesterday.
Okay.
And did not hear back from them.
So, I mean.
Yeah, I left
I don't
a message
know,
with May.
I don't know that we can advance this anyway because the stuff that we need are things that the ABCC also requires, so I would say that we defer this again to
15th.
The 15th until we get everything.
Cancellation, Uno Restaurants LLC, holder of common victualler, all alcohol license number 11698, linked to 22 JFK Street for non-use.
So we had deferred our vote on this because we wanted to get the information on the summary process issues and everything else that they had mentioned in the two previous hearings. Council has since submitted that and other pleadings. He also submitted an update to us, which basically says that they're still sort of in limbo. It looks like the settlement communications have sort of stopped. I would suggest, since we haven't heard and there's no evidence that there is any prejudice to keeping this license here until November for renewals.
Right.
So I would say that we that we have a hearing, either if during renewal season they decide to renew, that we hold a cancellation hearing or a consideration of renewal hearing at that time and decide at that point what we want to do.
Jeff Parenti, on behalf of the DCR, has applied for a special noise variance from August 4th through October 28th, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Mount Auburn Street, Fresh Pond Parkway, and Jerry's Landing.
Okay. This is for weekends only, and the reason they're asking this is it requires the de-energizing of cables by the MBTA. So I would vote to grant with the condition that they must obtain Sunday work permit.
Yep.
Jamie Giordano, holder of a one-day all-alcohol and entertainment license for August 23rd at 1 Kendall, is requesting to amend the date to August 22nd due to scheduling.
Granted.
Brenda Regan, on behalf of New England Powerline Contractors, has applied for a special noise variance from July 31st through August 21st from 6 p.m. until 12 a.m. at the intersection of Amherst and Wadsworth.
So this is supposedly for an underground fire alarm cable, and it's for three nights. There was information, we have information from Public Works Department that they requested additional information as to the nature and urgency of the request. They've received a lot of complaints in the area, and based on the way the application is and the lack of communication from Turner, they have recommended non-approval, so I will go with their recommendation and deny this request.
This is for Amherst and Wadsworth?
This is for, yep.
Okay.
Denied.
Ben Lavery, on behalf of Matemco, has requested a one-day extension to their approved noise variance to add August 11th from 7 a.m. until 10 p.m. at 25 Hayward due to weather issues. And
we had approved this one for July 21st to 28th or August 4th. They're only going to use it one day. They're just asking for this additional date to be added because it has to do with the ice that they have to pour on the concrete to cool off.
That's right.
So, granted.
Charlie Moore, on behalf of Turner Construction, has applied for a special noise variance from August 1st through October 1st from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. weekdays only at 145 Broadway.
The Residence Inn, which is the hotel nearby, was one that had submitted a letter for their previous application in support of it. Our investigators have reached out to them again, and they are actually in support of the early start and the late finish. They really want that to get done, and they say that the noise hasn't been an issue for them, so they just want it to get done, so I would approve to grant.
Mm-hmm.
Granted.
Charlie Moore, special noise variance July 31st through October 31st, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. weekdays and 7 a.m. until 6 p.m. weekends at 145 Broadway.
It's the same situation as the one before. I would vote to grant with the condition that they must obtain Sunday work permit.
Jerry Finnerty, on behalf of Shaughnessy and Ahern, has applied for a special noise variance on August 4th from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. at various locations around 215 First Street.
This is for the crane setup and takedown. I would vote to grant.
Jerry Hammersley, on behalf of J.C. Higgins Marr, has applied for a special noise variance on July 28th from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. at 485 Broadway.
This is actually now for August 4th. They changed the date after submission because the materials that they're hoisting were not going to come up in time. And this is also for a crane setup. I would vote to grant.
Okay.
John Ciancio, facilities manager, has notified the license commission that they ceased operations on June 28th, 2018, and will not be reopening at the MIT Coop.
Would acknowledge this license canceled.
That's already been done.
What was the MIT Coop?
Yeah.
Ceased operations?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Attorney William Kelly, on behalf of La Fabrica Central, has submitted a request to have the license suspension imposed by the board on July 11th held in abeyance until there is a final decision issued by the ABCC. I was in communication via email with Attorney Kelly today, and it's his intention, once he has an opportunity to review the statement of reasons, to submit a request to stay the suspension.
What days did we give him?
Let me tell you.
Are they before August 15th?
No.
So I would say we defer on this until we hear from him.
Okay.
To whether or not, I'm not going to stay a suspension if they're not going to appeal it.
Well, he's already filed the appeal.
Huh? It doesn't matter. He can withdraw it. But he's asking to... He submitted a letter asking to stay a suspension that hadn't been issued.
That hadn't been issued.
And now you're saying that when you talk to him, he's going to review and then reassess.
Correct.
So we'll defer until August 15th.
One-day licenses. Number 27 had already been approved by the board, and we got the rest of the paperwork that we needed.
Buyout of restaurant?
No, it's just that they were going to do they're going to use the parking lot.
Kalina Schlaniger, on behalf of MIT, has applied for an entertainment license at Kresge Auditorium, 84 Mass Ave, on October 7th from 2 to 11. I've reached out to her again and asked for the sign-off, and she said she will request it for the fourth time from them.
So defer until the 15th. This is for October, so...
Julia Hallman, on behalf of Formaggio Kitchen, has applied for malt and wine with entertainment license at Huron Ave on September 23rd from 12:30 to 4 for a party and fundraiser for live music. I believe we got all the paperwork that you were looking for.
1,000 people? Where's this going to be held?
It's there, right on Huron Ave.
I know where they're located. Where are they going to put 1,000 people? Not in the store.
No. It's the street closings. It's an anniversary party.
Okay, all right.
Fire lane, no obstructions, grills, restaurant. They don't have, didn't they say this is city property? Yeah, where's the city permit? Oh, no, this is the application.
That's the one thing I forgot to get from her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know it's in the works because I spoke with Rob. No, he won't issue a permit for this. It's street closure, so it's, they apply through traffic and parking.
Yeah, so I would defer until we get all that, so that we can look at all of it together.
This map does not make any sense.
Yeah.
Appleton Street. That's not Appleton Street.
John Schall, on behalf of El Jefe, has applied for a malt and wine license at Brattle Plaza for a beer garden on July 27th for Salsa Squared.
I would vote to grant, but with the hours of 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. for the park permit.
Jovan Toussaint has applied for an entertainment license at Cambridge Masonic Hall. 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. for a dance social.
Granted.
Ben Engel, on behalf of ALS Therapy and Development Institute, has applied for a malt with entertainment license at the courtyard at 300 Tech Square. I believe all the paperwork is there.
I would say granted, provided they submit further documentation stating that any profits go to the nonprofit of ALS. Otherwise, they'll have to purchase the alcohol pursuant to 138 Section 14.
The next one, André Fleurmont, there was a conflict between the hours that the Masonic Hall had approved and what he has on his application. I reached out to him and I haven't heard back from him.
I'm still at the other one, hold on.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm wondering, and this is on August 17th, so defer. We'll hear it on the 15th.
Nancy Donahue, on behalf of the Cambridge Chamber, applied for an all-alcohol with entertainment license at University Park at MIT on August 1st, rain date the 2nd from 3 to 9. That's the Char and Bar Wars. Wei Lu Shen, wine and malt with entertainment license at Dudley House, August 31st from 7 p.m. to 1 a.m. for a welcome party.
Granted.
Larry Ward has applied for an entertainment license to be exercised at Danahy Park, July 29th from 12 p.m. to 7 p.m. for the Jazz Festival.
Granted. I would grant it 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. to correspond with the park permit, and so that it gives them the time for setup and cleanup.
Is there an issue with the fee payment or details?
Oh.
Which one?
Yeah.
The Jazz
Sergeant
Festival.
Kale had, so Sergeant Kale approved this with the condition that there be police details. She also requested whether we could add a specific condition that the details be there from 12 noon to 7 p.m. and that they are prepaid because he has a history of not setting up the details after being told to do so.
I would actually encourage them to, what you mentioned set up and clean up. What are the hours of the actual festival?
So the hours of the festival are 12 to 7.
I would encourage the... It's the police department's call, but I would encourage them with that number of people to have the details extend them over either side of the event.
Okay. So do you want to do 1 hour prior to the start of the festival and 1 hour after the festival?
I would say absolutely.
So 11 a.m. to 8 p.m.?
That's what I would suggest, absolutely.
Okay. With the condition... Police details at least 2 from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. License will not issue until proof of detail request and payment is received.
Okay.
Lizette Castillo, on behalf of Community Schools, has applied for a one-day entertainment license on August 2nd at Dana Park for Family Day at the Park.
Granted with hours of 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. per park permit and also for setup and cleanup.
And I believe there was a request for fee waiver because it's the school.
It isn't. There isn't a request for fee waiver, but it is a city department, so we don't charge a fee.
Dio Tumwine has applied for a one-day wine and entertainment license on July 28th at 2497 Mass Ave, Unit 6, for an outdoor private event. I did not receive any more information.
He didn't give you any more information?
No.
This is a super odd request. I can't tell where this is.
I'll tell you $24.97.
It looks like it's a home.
Or an apartment, or...
But it's free of charge. Anyone can go in. Or they're applying for anyone to go in, for the wine to be given away. They're having a DJ amp system.
It's at the
between Newbury and
is there a yoga studio there or something like that? Or
2497 is
an apartment building?
Yeah, it's the place I think it is. It used to, it's next to National Tire and Battery.
It looks like it's a house. It's an apartment.
It's
it looks like it's a private party,
condo,
but I just don't understand it.
Condo set in the back. There's a kind of a courtyard. I think this is the place you drive under an overpass to get in. Interesting.
I defer on this, waiting for more information.
You've got to get more information.
Yeah, this is just
I'll call him in the morning. Since it's for this evening. Deborah Avant has applied for a Hawker Peddler license for the Jazz Festival.
Is this what that's supposed to be? Because it just...
Yeah, that's what Kyra gave me.
Okay.
Business address has a P.O. box. Doesn't have city, state, or anything.
Yeah, I don't know what this is.
So that's a complete application?
I mean, it might just be the quick printout. This is for the Cambridge Jazz Fest, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
For about 29 Hawker and Peddlers that will be selling jewelry. Must be that that we have that they attach the list of Hawker Peddlers to it. It's not here, I can tell you that.
Yeah, no.
I would approve to grant contingent upon them submitting the list of Hawker Peddlers.
Car might have it, it just came in at the, like an hour before. Yes, that is all.
No, that is not it. You have here Renee Mia.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where is she?
I don't know, but she's right in front of me. For National Night Out, Riverside Press, 3 to 8 p.m. on August 7th.
With park permits attached.
And this is just for entertainment for DJ.
It's a free event for Cambridge children.
Oh, this is the 35th Annual National Night Out Crime and Drug Prevention event. Sponsored by the National Association Town Watch.
Happens every year.
Yep.
And we waive the fee every year because it's free.
Well, I think it's because of the event, not
well,
because
that
it's free, because there's plenty of free events that we charge the fee for. Do 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. just to comply with the park permit. You okay with that? Okay. So now that is it. Oh no, it is a second call.
Oh, yeah.
Disciplinary 4 point. It is, what time is it?
5:08.
5:08.
At 5:08. And they failed to renew in 2017 and 2018. They renewed late 2017, 2018 after multiple calls and an inspection on May 17th of 2018. They finally renewed the license. I would vote to for a violation and for their failure to show up, I would issue an actual one-day suspension.
Concur.
Crystal George.
Crystal George was also late in 2017, 2018, and 2016. They were actually late, and we had a hearing then. We had a one day held in abeyance for a year, but apparently we weren't on the ball in 2017, 2018 because we never had that hearing. And again, this one, after multiple calls and everything, it wasn't until they were inspected on May 21st that they renewed the license. So I would say violation, and I would say two-day suspension, considering the record and also their no-show. That's the contact person on their viewpoint account, probably. Do you want to defer on that until we confirm?
Is that Crystal George?
No, this is the previous one. He's looking at 4 points.
There's a note here that says March 8th of 18, investigators met with Joy Ajame. She will give renewal paperwork to Ashley Oliver. Gives an email address. But then says she is still the contact. But then, okay, on March 21, apparently he completed the renewal process.
Okay, so let's do this.
I'm just curious if this individual, Ashley Alden, I don't know if it's a man or a woman, is still employed
there. Okay. So for 4 points investments, let's defer and confirm.
I mean,
that's old. That's like from 1970.
Well, I didn't know whether he.
Yeah, that information John doesn't Sullivan? Get updated every time.
No.
That's how we don't use these files anymore. Yeah. Because they're old and you can't really update that stuff. I mean, that's from 2013. Okay. So, as to 4 point investments, we'll defer our vote. We'll defer issuance. Well, let's do this. If there's a contact information, do we stand by the violation 1 day suspension?
The contact information is correct, yes.
Okay. But we will hold on sending this until we confirm that this is the right contact information. Yeah. If it's not the right contact information, we'll put it back on August 15th. And
now
if it's
I
the, and if it, no, you cannot leave yet. And if it's the right information, then we send out the notice of our current vote,
right,
which is the one-day suspension. Now, Crystal George. Crystal George, like I said, 2016, 2017, and now this year as well, late. I would say 2 day suspension.
Now.